We are joined this morning by our representative in Hartford, Maria Horn. Maria, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Marshall.
So it's been an incredible year. It's been an incredible, actually, session. And the state of Connecticut appears to be coming out of COVID-19. We'll get to that in just a moment, and some of the legislative things that have gone on, and your understanding of them. But the first thing, which Ruth Epstein yesterday morning on Robin Hood Radio broke the story about Kent losing its only doctor's office. New Vance Health is closing it. The doctor is moving, and they're finding it hard, they say, to replace and put a doctor in there. They're advising people to basically head to Sharon or south to New Milford or Danbury. What is your take on that? I mean, that seems like just such a very, very drastic thing for a town that is basically isolated, and people would have to travel 25-30 minutes to get to a doctor's office, just plain the doctor's office.
Yeah, it is. It's a problem. It's of a piece with conversations that we've had surrounding Sharon Hospital and honestly, you know, healthcare in our region generally for some time now. So this is not something that came out of the blue, meaning that we do struggle, you know, in the conversations that we had, for example, with Sharon Hospital over, you know, maternity care. A lot of that centered on, you know, the difficulty for recruiting doctors and keeping them in the area. So it has been going on for a while, but it's just a stark indication that we really need to think seriously and creatively about the issue we face. And it's issues that, you know, rural healthcare is facing throughout the country. So it's a real, you know, we have to focus on it. And I do know, for example, that the Sharon board is working with the, you know, New Vance leadership, Dr. Murphy, to, you know, look at, to identify some expertise in rural healthcare and to look at, you know, models that can work, that can actually provide us with care. Because as you note, I mean, telehealth is good. That definitely helps us. But, you know, not having a practitioner that you can actually reliably get to is a problem. And it will be a real challenge for us if we can't find new approaches.
It's at a turning point that other towns in the area, Sharon, Lakeville, Salisbury, Norfolk, you name it, sooner or later, right now, they feel the burden in healthcare of finding people to volunteer for ambulances and for fire departments. And this is the canary in the coal mine, I think, for all other towns in this region, that unless you have a hospital in your town or by your town, you kind of feel left naked and alone.
We do, and we have to. So it's really important for us, and you know, to focus on the health of Sharon Hospital, because we need to keep it here and serving our needs. It also points out to me, you know, the importance of having an FQHC in Canaan, which is something that, I mean, I've been working on since I've been in office, and those, you know, local organizations like the Foundation for Community Health have been working on for probably a decade, maybe more. That is ready to go, you know, working with the Community Health and Wellness in Torrington to open that up. They've identified a site. We need to get, you know, push the state for funding. But that is part of the fabric of care because, you know, North Canaan also doesn't have, has been losing practitioners. And, you know, we need that as part of our the overall picture of providing actual practitioners in the region.
All right. As the operator of the radio station, but also the Bargain Barn thrift shop, I was very happy to see the governor yesterday talk about, in the middle of May, really relaxing some of the restrictions on retail. We're at roughly around the middle of May, where if you've got a retail business like with the Bargain Barn, people will still have to wear masks. But if the Bargain Barn feels like okay, we can stop with the 6 feet difference and let a few more people into the store. I know I look at that not only as a sign locally to us, but as a real bright sign that the state now seems to really have turned this whole pandemic thing around.
I think so, too. I mean, I'm catching up on some of that news myself because, as you know, we just came out of a 16-hour session that ended at 3 in the morning last night. So some of the governor's news is getting to me probably later than it is the rest of you. But it is hopeful. And I do think, you know, Connecticut has managed the pandemic pretty well. And we should be... You know, we were careful and methodical, and I, you know, I'm hopeful that particularly as the weather starts to get better and we can all get outside more, that will really, you know, I mean, we need these businesses need they need to come back, and I mean, I am sort of, you know, I'm half vaccinated at the moment, and so I kind of feel like I'm in that moment of unfurling, you know, beginning to see what it's going to look like when more of us are fully vaccinated and can patronize businesses, and you know, and businesses can reopen, which will be, we really need that.
Yeah, I'm 2 weeks past my final vaccination, so for right now, I'm set. And I know that takes a lot off my mind. But let's take a look at what else. I mean, yes, the last year has been dominated by the pandemic, but let's take a look at the, since you've been back in session, some of the positive things that you see that are going to affect our area coming out of this session.
Well, one of the things we're going to have to figure out, I mean, just. We are still in the midst of figuring out how we're actually going to do all the business that the legislature usually does in that final, you know, month and a half, when the Senate and the House typically are both in session together, and everybody's still working out what that's going to look like. But I think there are some really good pieces of legislation that will have a really important effect on the Northwest Corner. Among them, you know, the governor's broadband bill that. I had during our session yesterday, I had a bunch of meetings about that bill to try to make sure that we, as that bill and other bills get, you know, amended and renegotiated following the committee deadlines, that we hang on to the provisions that are most important to us, which are the, you know, universal broad build out and the one touch make ready or ensuring that we have access to the poles to do the, you know, a fiber optic build out, for example. That's a really important piece of legislation, and particularly when you combine that with the fact that there are federal resources, you know, money flowing into funding rural broadband in the state and throughout the country, it's a real moment when I think we can put all the pieces together and really be able to provide access to you know, the residents of Northwest Connecticut for purposes of healthcare, education, our economy, everything. That's really important. I think there are also some really important pieces of environmental legislation on, you know, addressing our solid waste crisis, which is real and serious. I think that will have an impact on us as well.
What do you think about the possibility of the sale, legalization of marijuana, and also sports betting? How would that impact the budget process in the state? I mean, it would be positive. I would assume that most people look at it that way.
It definitely is positive, and that, you know, that gives it its own momentum, as you can imagine. I mean, for me, the legalization of cannabis, which when I was on judiciary in my first term, you know, went through that debate firsthand. And for me, the decision really was about, a lot of it was about equity, which is to say, when you listen to the history of the criminalization of cannabis, it had a racial intent. And so it's no surprise that it has had a racial impact. And that's a troubling thing, particularly when you compare how we handle cannabis, you know, compared with alcohol and tobacco, and it's a messy history. And so, no surprise that debate is really dominated at the moment about how you address those concerns about equity. And And do you just make sure that, is it enough that the resources from cannabis, the revenue that the state makes, get reinvested in the parts of the state that were hardest hit by criminalization? Or do you need to go further and make sure that, you know, that it's in, you know, invested in, you know, minority-owned businesses and making sure that, that those communities are part of the businesses that get generated from cannabis legalization, not just you know, putting the money back into those communities? So that's a complicated conversation, and one could say that that addressing that doesn't leave a lot of extra money left over. Right. I mean, at the moment, the debate seems to be between, you know, how you, where you draw the line between how much money you invest, because we also have to make sure that we put money into addiction and mental health to make sure that we're not creating other problems for ourselves by legalizing cannabis. So definitely creates additional resources, and the question is, how are they going to be spent, and how much is left over for sort of extra general fund purposes is questionable. Gaming, on the other hand, that does generate a lot of money, and so because I chair the Public Safety Committee, that is the bill that I am working the most on at the minute, because there's a lot of pressure to get that bill passed in the House quickly, so that the there's a chance for the NFL season to be part of Connecticut's legalized sports betting, and that'll be a very tight time frame, and so we're trying to get that done as quickly as possible. That does generate a fair amount of money. It helps the tribes who are, you know, that is, you know, they have done a really great job operating gaming in the state for a long time now, and they have been terrific partners. And they are also, you know, they are a huge part of the economic welfare of the southeastern part of the state. And so their health, their economic health is important not just to their tribal nations, but to the whole community. So that's an important piece for them, but it also generates a lot of money for towns. You know, the Mashantucket Pequot, you know, Mohegan funds go directly to our towns. And there will be, you know, we're now, that will be a complicated conversation to try to figure out where the money from this goes to, how it gets invested.
All right. And just one final comment. I following you on your social media pages, between cleanup days and between vaccination sites and testing sites, obviously you're going to need a new car soon.
It is true. It at least needs a tune-up. It's starting to tell me that.
Well, Maria, thanks for coming on this early, especially after your marathon session yesterday. And if people need more information, of course, we've got all your contact information on our on-demand page. So thanks for joining us this morning.
It was great to be with you.
Take care. Maria Horn this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio. And you can find the interview posted in about the next 20 minutes at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on the interview section. And if you need to get a hold of Maria, there'll be plenty of links at that location as well.